Our gospel reading for this first Sunday of Lent comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the fourth chapter, beginning in verse 1. It's a familiar story, Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. If I were to take a poll of the general population of what they have given up for Lent, I would suspect that majority of people would say that they have given up Lent for Lent. And that's too bad, because this season has the potential to be a transformative time in our personal and corporate journey of faith. For the church, season of Lent can be a holy time, a time set aside for spiritual disciplines like prayer, self-examination, repentance, and being more intentional about doing acts of love and kindness for others. And Lent can also be an honest time when we can lay bare before ourselves and God what is really going on in our lives. A time to recommit ourselves to the ways of God and to our very own best understanding of being who God has created you and me to be. Each and every year, we're invited to enter the season of Lent as a pilgrimage that begins with Jesus' own journey into the wilderness. In this biblical story, Matthew tells us that it was immediately after Jesus' baptism that he was, quote, led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. Well, I want to just briefly explore both literally and figuratively this image, this metaphor of the wilderness. When most of us think of the word wilderness, we picture the kind of place where many of us go to get away from the busyness of life, a place where we can get some much-needed rest and recreation. And actually, that's a major reason why I moved north of town to some land in the country. But in the Bible, the wilderness is nearly always a place of struggle and of being tested, like Moses and the Israelites who wandered 40 years in the deserts before entering the Promised Land. And in the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that it is God's Spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness to face a struggle with the devil. So the wilderness becomes a place where Jesus and our core commitments will be tested. Now, let's talk about this term devil for a moment. And even Satan, because they have a much different meaning in ancient scripture than they do for most people today, whose understanding of the devil has been portrayed in countless Hollywood movies or preached by those trying to literally scare the hell out of people. But in its broader usage, the term devil means one who tests and attacks misleads, deceives, diverts, discredits, or slanders. And speaking from the perspective then of a progressive Christian, in progressive Christianity, the devil does not mean a personified entity of evil, like that little person in red with horns and a pitchfork sitting on our shoulder. Rather, the devil is simply a term for that which draws us away from the ways of God and from understanding our own identity as beloved children of God. This is what the devil attempts to do in Matthew, to mislead Jesus about the meaning of the purposes of God and his own identity as the Son of God. And all three of these temptations that Jesus faced, which I'm afraid we don't have time to go into detail this morning, are really just a variation on the same theme. The devil tempts victims, Jesus or us, to go for power and control. Let me explain. In the first confrontation, the tester attempts to mislead Jesus into using his power for himself by turning stones into bread, rather than trusting God to satisfy his need. Yet Jesus will not misuse his power for personal material gain. And the second test focuses on Jesus' vulnerability and need for safety. Were he to jump off the pinnacle of the temple? Yet Jesus will not use his power to make himself safe and secure. And the third temptation attempts to seduce Jesus with domination and prestige if he were given all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Yet Jesus will not misuse his power to amass clout and esteem. So it's interesting that the assigned lectionary scripture passage for the first Sunday in Lent is always this story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. It is clear, therefore, that a major focus of the season of Lent is on the self-examination of that which tempts you and me. And from this particular biblical story, we are certainly called to reflect upon the temptation to misuse our own power and control. But I also think this is where the concept of the seven deadly sins in the Roman Catholic tradition arose. Many are indeed tempted by lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. But I found something else this week even more helpful and specific in defining temptation, because we don't talk about this very often. And it comes from biblical commentator Marietta Anschutz, and she writes, "Temptation comes to us in moments when we look at others and feel insecure for not having enough. Temptation comes in judgments we make about strangers and friends whose choices we do not understand. Temptation rules us, making us able to look away from those in need and to live our lives unaffected by poverty, hunger, and disease. Temptation rages in moments when we allow our temper to define our lives, or when addiction to wealth, power, influence over others, vanity, or an inordinate need for control defines who we are. Temptation wins when we engage in the justification of little lies and small sins. A racist joke, a questionable business practice for the greater good, a criticism of a spouse or partner when he or she is not around. And temptation wins when we get so caught up in the trappings of life that we lose sight of life itself. These are the faceless moments of evil that, while mundane, lurk in the recesses of our lives and of our souls." And Anschutz concludes with a very helpful understanding of how to approach this season of Lent. "Lenten penitence engages the dark places in our lives, that we may come face to face with them, name them, understand them, and seek forgiveness for them. It's not about guilt. It's about freedom from the control that our fears and insecurities have over all of us, about the amendment of our life and new beginnings, certainly the theme of Easter. So when Lent is approached this way, each and every one of us is challenged to embrace our own wilderness experience. Like Jesus in the wilderness, we learn that closeness to God will often involve conflict and struggle that will lay bare your and my deepest passion and loyalty. Jesus willfully and intentionally confronted evil and temptation. And that can be instructive for the wilderness experience that you may find yourself engaged in at this time in your life. So remember, though difficult, the wilderness as a metaphor is not necessarily a bad place. In fact, most people, including myself, find that it is in those tough and trying times of life that our faith tends to stretch and to strengthen and to grow. And also, remember that temptation is not to be avoided at all costs. It is inevitable for us as children of God, just as it was for Jesus. So use this season of Lent as a special opportunity to reflect upon your own wilderness experience and God's presence with you. I encourage you to embrace the wilderness, to embrace Lent. Amen.